Ready to rock.
All right, guys. Exchange. This is number 15. It's amazing how fast we're going, getting through these.
Yeah.
So let's go. Q&A today, guys.
So today's topics really have to do with cost of business ownership, in essence.
Okay.
First question from Simon. I just tipped a programmer $500 when his fee was $50. Why? Because he solved a massive problem that 9 previous hires couldn't solve, and he quoted me $50 for the job. He just unclogged a bottleneck in my online business that will result in nearly 7-figure per month revenue. As Elon Musk said, you are paid in direct proportion to the difficulty of the problems you solve. So I decided the only fair thing to do would be to tip the guy and express my gratitude. Do you have a similar story? Or what can you speak to something about this? Or how can you speak to
this? No, I agree with him. Simon, I totally agree with you. If nobody else can figure that out, and you know your guy did, and you know he charged $50, and the other 9 couldn't figure it out, you give him additional $500. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. Has that ever crossed me? I don't remember. I think it's a good way of doing business.
Yeah.
Me personally, no, I've never.
Yeah.
Had that.
But you opportunity. Think, but you agree with that kind of?
Oh, 100%. I agree with the guy. I would actually.
Someone over delivers.
I would go and reach out to the guy and see if he wants a job.
Yeah.
That's what I would. You know, my mind's going that way. Not you know, giving him another $500. Like, how do I get this guy on my team?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more important.
So for you, it's not even so much the monetary compensation, but it's maybe potential value. Obviously, the money.
This guy's a smart guy. Yeah. If 9 other people, like I'm not sure where this guy was looking at. Was it Fiverr or was it like an actual?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, that's another thing, right?
Yeah,
that's another thing. Are you going to the pros? Or are you, you know, asking your next door neighbor's kid to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and if you're asking the 9 next door neighbor's kids that have no idea what the hell they're doing, but just because they're young and they think they know about tech versus somebody that you actually hire that knows about tech and can get it done, then I think that 9th person wasn't the person. But I think if you ask 9 person that were you know, professionals and this was their career and they couldn't figure out, this one person did, and I think this guy's a great guy then. Oh, this person's a great person then.
Moving on. Next question from Terrence. Choose your mindset. A, how much can I sell it for? Or B, how much is it worth?
How much is it worth? Value, if I go back to real estate, and let's just say you have a house in an area next to the school, next to a shopping mall, next to daycare, next to a park, it's got no value to me. But it's got a lot of value to a young family that has a child in daycare, has somebody that's going to school, has a park around the corner, it works for them. Value's not there. You find me a place in Cold Harbor where it's 1 bedroom or 2 bedrooms, you know, mm-hmm. upstairs from a hotel that I frequent in, right? There's a tremendous amount of value there for me. So, no, mine's the latter.
And I guess from that, you could also still figure out how much you could sell it for once you know it's worth.
Yeah, you find a person where, you know, whatever the thing is, yeah. Right? You find the person that values this, and you know, you approach them and pitch them. It's an easier close for me.
To know how much it's worth?
No, how much it's worth, but like who I'm adding value to?
Mm.
Who needs this product? Who needs the service more than anyone else? And then you approach them, and at that point, I think sales is going to be much higher.
So what you're saying is if you understand your demographic or understand your client, you can better understand how much something is worth or the value of a certain thing.
Yes,
and
you
therefore
can.
You can price it.
Then you can price it accordingly. Exactly.
So I'm just pulling numbers out of thin air here.
No.
Is that a common mistake? Like I don't know. I can't speak to it. Like is that a
no?
Common
like you
business?
Know what? I think for new, mm-hmm. I think for new people just starting there, they just look at competitors and they want to, you know, base everything around them. But I think the ones that have been around for a long time, there's always going to be some type of research that's done before they even, you know, value their product or their service. Knowing the numbers backwards, right? What the expenses are, what all the expenses are, how much profit you want to make, you know, taxes and everything else. And, okay, this is what we think we should sell it for.
Mm-hmm.
And go from there and then look at your competitor's price. Oh, you know what? We're so much higher, okay, then we need to adjust. Or if we're so much lower, okay, that's increase the price.
Yeah. Next question from Simon. What's the biggest cost you're paying personally to be an entrepreneur right now?
Biggest cost personally?
Well, let's just say the biggest cost you're paying to be an entrepreneur right now.
Yeah, that can be anything. It can be from wages. It can be to like art, research and development. It can be, or like forget monetary, right? It can be time.
Mm-hmm.
Time away from family, time away from friends, time away from vacation. You know, that there's, I think that's more important to a lot of people today, mm-hmm. is the time away from things, from people that you love. For me right now, I would say it's 50-50 between expenses as in, the investments that I have and also wages, I would say is my two. In the mortgage business, we don't really have big expenses,
right?
There's no product or development. Development is more mentally than anything else. And the odd courses here and there and some conferences that if you want to go to. But besides that, it's just, it's for me, it's more the money going out as in investments going out and wages as well.
Okay. From Marshall, do you have separate accounts for personal and business funds?
Yes, I do. I have a corporation, so I'm not sole proprietor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have, you know, many different entities. There's my personal and there's different businesses, and every business has its separate account. I've been like that from day one. I'd never been a sole proprietor. When I got in, I knew I was going to get in, and mm-hmm. we'd get in.
So for sole proprietors, what would you say to them?
Separate accounts.
Separate?
Yeah. Separate accounts. Even if they have, you know, you can go to your bank account and have the same bank account, but in that bank account, you can have, you know, checking and savings or two savings or, you know.
Yeah,
just
whatever.
Talk to your banker or talk to your, whoever it is, credit union or whatever. Just break it down to them. Like, you know, this is me and this is my company. How do you think I should put it together? And, you know, I'm a sole proprietor, right? And this is my personal fund and this is my company fund that mm-hmm. I'm making. How do you think I should set this account up? I would do that.
Right. So from that, you're saying any money you make would go into from whatever.
That's what I would do. Some people will say, okay, just dump it.
And you still pay yourself into the other account is what you're saying?
Well, that's what I would do because I'm more visual. And others will look at it differently. Like, okay, you know what? Let's just throw everything into one account and we'll have a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
You know, this is what belongs to me personally. This is what belongs to the company. And if this belongs to the company, you know, how much of this are we going to reinvest into advertising, into product development, research, and everything else? Mm-hmm. Taxation, and everything. But and I'm only talking for a sole proprietor. If it's a company, it's two different things.
Yeah.
This is talking to, like, you know,
companies.
Different.
Yeah.
Separate. Remember, guys, company is a separate entity. It's like mm-hmm. it's another child. It's another person,
mm-hmm.
right? Has its own number. Has its own name. Has everything.
Yeah. Is there ever a time or reason for you to cross? For you to having money going back and forth between the two, or pulling
between
out
my personal and no. The only time I take there's a couple of times I had to take either my company had to loan money to me personally, or personally I had to lend money to the company. And at that time, that's just a loan agreement that goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you know, it's the shareholders. If it goes from me personally to the company, it's a shareholder loan,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm giving my loan, my company a loan. Mm-hmm. If it goes back the other way, then, you know, the company's giving me a loan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some type of agreement there that I have with the accountant that I write, and I give it to them. This is what the money was for, and make sure it's paid back.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. But besides that, no, I keep everything separate. Until I get paid. And then when I get paid, obviously, then it comes from the company to me personally. I pay my taxes and it just stays with me.
I mean, outside of that. Yeah, yeah. No, good to know. From Penny.
Was that a Dylan question?
No, actually. But I saw
Did you get something there?
Huh?
You got something
there. Yeah, I did get something there. That's why I put it in there. It wasn't my question, but,
but you wanna,
I
you
put
wanna,
it in there. Yeah, yeah. next question from Penny. What's the smallest amount of money you've ever taken someone to court for?
Yeah, well, I've taken many people to court. It's just my line of business that we're in.
Yeah.
I would say one of my tenants, because this guy really pissed me off, really ticked me off, and it was just arrogant guy, and I wanted to teach a lesson. I don't know.
When was this? Was this first when you had your home? Or?
Years and years ago. No, it was maybe 3-4 years after I got my house. I don't know, maybe $1,500.
Yeah.
$1,200, something like that.
Worth it?
For time?
Out of principle?
For time, no, but I felt good.
Yeah, so.
But yeah. I felt good.
Would you do that today?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Just, you know, cut my losses and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. There's two ways. You know, when you're young, you want to do other things, right? But we'll keep that quiet here, right? So the next best way was, you know, take him to court and go from there. I won. And we garnished wages and we got most of it back.
But all of it?
No, over the year and a half. Look, $1,500, year and a half. How many times I have to go to the to the court, sign documents, and sit in line up there and wait? And it wasn't even worth my time.
So do you think it's an age thing, like deciding on whether to do something to prove a point or to make you feel better? Do you think the older you get, it's like fuck?
I think for me that was more of a, like, if I look back now, that was more of an ego thing.
Right.
Right. Like, you know, there's no way this idiot is gonna get away with this. You know, that's my money. I'm going after it. But now we just gotta. Now I would look at that as like, is my time worth $1,500? No, it's not. So I will walk away from that. And then other times it's, you know, do you want to fight that battle? And if the answer is yes, if you want to fight that battle, then you go after them. If not.
But even so, after that, you would still go back to, is this worth my time?
Yeah.
So it's like, do I want to fight?
Even today.
Sure, but is it worth my time?
Yeah. No. What I do today, this is because we have to do it. We have a charge on somebody's home, and if they don't pay, we legally have to go after them.
Mm.
That this aside, if this is me personally, or if this is like, you know, to do with Cybuck in the future, or some other company like that in the future, where you know, security is not what we have a loan against. So it's not a mortgage, but it's you know, service that was done and we didn't get paid for it. At that stage, then I look at it, it's like, you know, is this $2,500? Is it worth it? Yes, no. Yeah, it is. Okay, let's go. If not, then clean it.
Move on.
And then you find out, here's the good thing with this, is you start realizing there's gonna always be patterns, right? In the mortgage business, there's always patterns. I know when somebody's gonna pull out the deal at the last moment. They have patterns, right? And once I start feeling that, I'll back out.
Mm.
And you'll start realizing this stuff.
Over time, you're getting ahead of the game, is what you're saying, yeah.
Over time, you'll just know, and you'll kind of feel it. You'll know the time wasting and the types of excuses that they have, and then you make your judgment based on that.
Next question from Zola. Nope. That's not the question. I was going to... The other one here is, does a baby formula and diapers business make money? But that's not what I was going to ask you.
Is that a question?
It is a question on here, but I don't think...
Okay, then. Okay. Yeah. But I think yes. I think anything makes a good business, but you're... Let's answer that one.
Okay.
But you got heavy competition.
Mm.
Huggies and I don't know what other brands there are. These are brands, right? I think a lot of people don't even know the word diaper. They probably know, go get the Huggies.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think there is a market when you go, especially today, and I'm not going to say in a lot of parts of the world, but I know locally, West Coast, Vancouver, San Francisco, Seattle, all these areas where organic is very important. And
I was just going to say.
Right, organic is very important.
Naturally made.
And then how do you dispose of it? Like, this stuff is very important, right?
Get into the eco game a bit.
Yeah, and I think a lot of, I don't know these numbers, but I have a good feeling that there's going to be a good percentage now that's not using disposables. They're probably using some type of cloth. I know you're giving that look, but I think there is there. I think that's there.
Really?
Yeah. Got a good feeling that's there.
Yeah.
Because if I got to go back, like, I talked to some of my aunts and even
lots of money.
Older generation, they said they never used diapers on their kids. I got to actually talk to my mom what she used. I was a good baby. The best stuff.
Use the toilet.
Use the best stuff, man. I was born using the toilet.
All right, next question from Michael. Did you fund your own business out of pocket when you started it?
Yes.
Or did you use other people's money?
Go. Sorry, I just know the answer.
So you said yes. I don't even.
Yeah, in business, I never borrowed any money. I have. It's always out of pocket. It was always out of my cash. I don't recommend anyone starting a business without their own money. Right. If you can't afford it, just continue working for somebody else until you can make that money. Cut back on your expenses. If you got to pick up another job, pick up another job. Sleep less. Do whatever you got to start your business. I hate debt. I told you guys that before. I hate all sorts of debt, including mortgages. So there's no fucking point in taking out a loan just to start a company. And here's another one, taking out a loan to invest. People take out loans to put into the stock market or buy crypto and all. Like, that's some dangerous shit, man.
Yeah.
That's some really dangerous stuff. Wow.
Yeah, that's all you can say about that. Wow.
Next.
Last question from John. You got $100,000 right now. Where are you investing it?
As of this moment, I have nowhere to invest it. I would probably put that into... I would invest that into a mortgage because that's the market I know as of right now.
Not your own.
What do you mean not my own?
If the money's into a mortgage?
Yeah, sorry. So let me make this clear. I would be a lender, not...
You'd lend the money.
I would lend the money to somebody and take the house as security, hence... being the mortgagor.
I know you talk about buying companies and
not ready right now.
Yeah.
I would say in a year from now, I'll probably return another 10, 12, 14% on that 100,000. And then probably a year from now or 6 months from now or 8 months from now, something like that, then I'll look at it. But as of right now, no, I would deploy that into, if I had 100 grand right now, I would deploy that into a mortgage investment, mm-hmm. Not going buying a debt.
Good to know. That's all I got for you today.
All right, guys. Till next time, keep sending your questions in. Actually, I want to mention this. Anyone in the Vancouver area, if you want to be in the show, I would love to talk to you. And if you're an entrepreneur, especially if you guys have a product, I would love that even more.
Or a good story.
Or a good story. Oh, great story is always great. But I want to have somebody come in here that has
diapers.
Sure. Like, why not, man? Diapers, baby formula, or
your own product.
Products, any kind of product, right? Not a T-shirt that says something on it. Like, I don't think that's a product. That's just somebody's creativity side. I don't know. Whatever.
Okay.
Whatever it is.
You heard the man.
Yes. Send us a DM on any platform, Facebook and Instagram, or comment on YouTube, and we'll do our best to reach out to you. Until next time.